Good morning. As you are probably aware, if you've been here each week, we've been looking at the story of Moses so far from chapter 3 of Exodus. And we're thinking about the overall idea of God breaking in. And we've looked at God saw and called. We thought about God sent. And this morning we're thinking about God with us. And it's inevitable, because all the verses run into each other for the same story, that there's a little bit of overlap in what we may be thinking about through these verses. And I think the other subject that we could actually, or the other title we could put over this subject, is the presence of God. Now, when we just think back to the week when we thought about the burning bush, Moses looked up and he saw this bush burning in the desert, and it was not consumed, it just kept burning. And therefore it made him wonder what was happening. And from that bush, there was a voice that came, which was attributed to God. And there was a vision of an angelic being. And this is the way that God was showing his presence to Moses, that he was there. Now, in some parts of the Bible where we read about angels, they're either given a name, like Gabriel or Michael the archangel, and there may be others. And usually a person comes in an angelic form, one of God's ministering spirits, so that they can communicate with the person that God wants to speak to, like Abraham, like Joseph, like Mary. This is slightly different, because it is understood to be the voice of God himself actually speaking. And there are only one or two other portions in the Bible where this actually happens. So it was very special, and God spoke. And I think, just considering why the bush was burning continually, was not just a way of attracting Moses, but to me it speaks of the person who spoke, God himself, as being eternal. No beginning, no end, just carrying on. And that was a way that God spoke to Moses to show who it was. And so we find here that there's the presence of God. And that made it a holy place, because God was there. In a way, this building is just wood and stone and tiles and plaster, and of itself is merely a building. But if we come into the building and we plead with God for his presence, and the presence of God is felt here as we worship him, then this is a holy place. Therefore, God can be anywhere at any time, and we can call upon him and know that with his presence being there, it is a holy place. And that's a very wonderful thing, a very wonderful thing to understand, that it's possible. Now, last week, when Peter was speaking, he was speaking about the time when God broke in to the life of Moses and said, here was a situation where God broke into Moses' life and was going to speak to him about his purpose for his ongoing life. But thinking about it, I think even earlier than that, God broke into Moses' life. Because as he was there floating in that basket in the bulrushes, it was God who came in and made sure that he was preserved, that the Egyptian princess took him and decided to bring him up herself. And as a result of that, he was brought up in the palace of the Pharaoh and learnt to know the Egyptian ways and thinking. And that was a preparation that God had for Moses in later years, when he'd have to approach Pharaoh and plead with him to let the people go. So you see, God breaks in at different stages in life. And maybe he has broken into your life at times in a special way, and you have realized it's God and his presence. And now God says to him, go to the Israelites and tell them that I sent you. And Moses says a rather strange thing. He says, what do I tell the people as to who you are? And God also says a strange thing. He says, tell them, I am who I am, has sent you. A very strange phrase that perhaps means very little to us. And it's not really translatable into our English language as the meaning that it has in the Hebrew. I wonder what this meant or would have meant to the Israelites when Moses eventually approached them and told them that he'd met with God and God was going to bring them out. They'd been in there for 400 years, slaving away under Pharaoh, being whipped and lashed and uncared for, in servitude. How much had they remembered of God in the past, in their history, through Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and such worthies? And they needed to be reminded that there was a God who was watching over them, and that he was going to release them from their slavery. I am who I am. What does that mean? Well, as far as we can translate it, God is really saying, I was, I am, and I will be. In other words, he is eternal. No beginning, no end. The absolute God, the God of history, the God of salvation. That's the God who Moses had met and was now dealing with. So Moses had learnt already what it was to be humble, as coming before a holy and mighty God, being told to take off his sandals, for the place that he was standing upon was holy ground. He'd learnt humility. Now he had to learn faith, trusting in God's word that what God promised to him would surely come to pass, and that God would be with him and help him and give him the ability to carry out his promises. And I have a question for you, which I haven't really answered in my own mind. Knowing that brief history that we have of Moses, from a child going through the palace and learning the Egyptian customs and ways of thinking, and then wandering in the desert. Remember, he killed a man because he thought in his righteous anger that he saw this happening and it was against his fellow citizens. And how he escaped and ran into the desert away from Pharaoh and the palace. So when did Moses actually learn about God in his life? When did he have any contact with God and realize who God was? It's difficult to actually find, as we read the scriptures, where that may have happened. It may have been as he went out into the desert in walks on his own and discovered God in that way, and God may have revealed to him all that had happened and why it had happened. We're not really told. It seems that he had no conversation that we know of with God beforehand. And that's why I think, in a way, this conversation with God is a little bit sort of broken. Because even Moses is really trying to sort of find out more about God. Oh yes, he said, who shall I tell the people that you are? But I think Moses also wanted to find out more about this God that presented himself to him. God, in his goodness, as so often in Old Testament times and in our day, he promised to encourage Moses by giving him a sign, as we read in verse 12. And he says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And remember that Moses was on Mount Horeb, on the base slopes of the mountain, in good pasture. And that was part of the Sinai range. And there was going to be a time later when God would meet him again. And that would be the sign that God was with him and he was keeping his promises. And he said that he would worship God on this mountain. He would experience again the presence of God as he went up in the mountain and there received the commandments from God. And you may remember, if you recall the story, how he said to God, I want to see something of your glory. And God said, I can't show you my face. I couldn't look directly at you because the greatness of my glory means that you could not live. So he says, hide yourself and I will pass by and you will see something of my glory. And there he was, again in the presence of God, seeing the greatness and the glory of God. And he had to cover his face while God passed by. He was privileged to see the glory of God in that respect. God had kept his word. God had fulfilled the sign. He also promised, as we read in verse 17, I have planned to bring you out of your misery in Egypt. And then if we were to read on into chapter 33 and verse 14, again, this is reiterated. He says, God says to Moses, my presence will go with you and bring you out of Egypt. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Peace of mind, recognizing that God was with him and God had it all in his hands. And in Deuteronomy, as in that book, we look back over the things that happened as God dealing with the people, the Israelites. And it says there, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength. That was God at work. God in his presence with power. So it's a very remarkable incident. Something that must have ever stayed in the mind of Moses. So we think of the presence of God as we've looked at this episode here, and we may well ask ourselves, what does it mean for us? What do we mean by knowing and feeling the presence of God? In Acts chapter 10, in verse 33, we have part of the story of when Peter had a vision. And he met after that vision a man called Cornelius. And they met together and it was explained to Peter that this vision basically was that he had to go out and preach not just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentile nations as well. And it says there in that verse, he has promised to speak to us in his presence. The presence of God was where they were met together as they recognized God's leading and his presence was felt. And we can see in this story, not only does God give comfort in his presence, but he brings guidance. He confirms to Moses that in his presence that we are on the right path. That was his proof to Moses that he was doing the right thing. God guided him. There's a verse in Psalm 16, verse 11, where it says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." And then there are many verses, but just one more in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "The result of true love in action," I'm just putting that explanation in, "the result of true love in action proves this is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us." In other words, the encouragement is that when we feel out of sorts, when we feel maybe and know that we have sinned, we have come short of the requirements of God and his desire for us to love him. That if we show love and have been showing love in action to others, that is a proof to us that God's presence is with us and that the truth has been made known. And it's the sort of practical outworking of God's love that helps us to realize and encourage us in our worship and in our praise and in our thinking. So God's presence, it surrounds us, it protects us, it teaches us and empowers us. And if you think of those four words and read Psalm 23, there's a great similarity of the protection and the guidance of the Lord and the strength of the Lord and the care of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord in what he provides for our needs, all to do with his presence. It's something that we can feel almost covered in, something we can feel in our hearts, but also we can feel it around us. In a situation of worship, in a situation of prayer, or just reading and studying God's word, we can feel and know his presence. And that's the wonderful thing about the presence of God. And we can claim it for our own. And it's that which confirms our faith and helps to strengthen us in our lives from day to day. Something very powerful, something very straightforward, something very uplifting, which removes from our minds and all the things that may come in and disturb and destroy, to know the presence of God. What do we sing, or we're going to sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place." It's like he's filling all the gaps, all the corners, to show his presence is with us. But of course we've seen and known of other ways where God has shown his presence. And it may have come into your minds as you've been thinking about this, or it may not. One of the greatest ways that God showed his presence to the world was in the birth of Jesus Christ. What was he named as? Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of God was lying in that manger in the form of a human child. Mary carried it. She and Joseph knew it. And in Acts, we read many saw and experienced its power by the Holy Spirit. The presence of a mighty God at work. Jesus prays to his Father in John chapter 17, shortly before he's taking out to be crucified. He says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. That tells us lots of things. It tells us, first of all, that Jesus, the Son of God, was equal with God, that he also is an eternal being, part of the Godhead. And much as he had done to show the love of God in the way that he had come into this world and been born to die for the sins and the failures of each one of us as humans, raised to show that God had found in him no sin, no wrong, and brought him into a place of glory. And he desired to get back to that place that once he knew. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, we're told that for a season he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death upon a cross. That was just for a period of time, and then he would go back to the Father and enjoy all that he had with him. So the presence of God is very powerful. The presence of God is very real. And sometimes, as Peter mentioned last week, it's even possible that we might hear the voice of God in some form, as we're in a desperate time in our lives and we need him to speak and to guide us as to the decisions that we have to make. I've known that in business, where we had a problem, a difficulty that we don't know the answer to, and we pray to God and God has answered. Now, once I was driving up to London on business, and it was at the end of the recession in 1988, when Maggie Thatcher was on the throne, and things were pretty desperate and work was limited, and there was the thought that we may have to make certain people redundant. And it was a tussle, it was a battle to know whether to keep them or to let them go, because the training they'd had and the place they'd got to in their work would not have been easy to replace. And I remember praying to God in the car, as often I did, with my eyes open, of course. And there I prayed to God that he would give an answer. Simply yes or no, as to which I had to do. And I distinctly heard a voice. Where it came from, who it was, I don't know. But there was definitely a voice which said no, which meant we had to leave things as they were. And we did. And within a fortnight, the whole picture changed. And God had provided more business and things got back onto an even keel. And that's the God who presents himself amongst us. And that's how, in the reality of our faith, we can know him. So my prayer is that we may all long to be want to be in the presence of God. There's always room, there's always space, wherever we are, to learn more about him. To be shut in a place with God. Maybe whilst going through difficult circumstances. Maybe just in an atmosphere of worship, God can presence himself amongst us, and we can know him to be there in truth and power. May God help us to know that in our lives and to trust him more and more. Amen.